All right, good morning. My name is Jeff Liebert. I'm a master's student in agronomy at Cornell University. And today I'm going to share with you a bit about my work on evaluating the trade-offs between forage quality and yield for winter cereals that are grown as forage in double cropping systems. So to begin, give you some broad environmental context for New York dairies. Dairy is a leading agricultural commodity in New York State, and it's the third largest producer of milk nationally. Dairy farms have come under increasing scrutiny as major contributors to non-point source pollution, and they've been linked to impaired water quality in a lot of degraded watersheds throughout the Northeast. So in response to this concern, the USDA NRCS has promoted cover crops as a best management practice to reduce leaching and runoff. So we do have, through all this encouragement, there's an increasing number of farmers planting winter hardy or overwintering cover crops. And in 2013, there was a survey of 115 New York dairy farmers that revealed about 12 of those farmers surveyed were actually harvesting those overwintered cover crops as feed the following spring. So as you can see here, if I can get it here, this yellow bar, cereal rye was by far the most commonly planted cover crop, but only about 35% of the farmers that grew cereal rye, so this blue bar here, actually harvested it as feed. In contrast, triticale, only a few of the farmers surveyed were planting it, but of those that planted it, you have almost 75% of them harvesting it as feed the following spring. And of all the different reasons for planting cover crops, soil conservation, tying up that residual nitrogen, and improving soil organic matter were the top reasons cited by those farmers surveyed. So with a small but growing number of farmers harvesting those overwintered winter cereals, we see there's a lot of potential for growing this practice in the Northeast, and certainly some compelling reasons to do so. So in addition to the soil health benefits, harvesting a winter cereal forage can increase your homegrown forage production, and this will give you some feed at a time when feed inventories are typically low. This will in turn decrease your feed import costs and those greenhouse gas emissions that are associated with transporting feed, typically grain, from the Midwest. Also, this practice can provide an opportunity to apply manure in the fall, so prior to seeding these winter cereals, as well as after harvest in the springtime. And there's certainly challenges for working with these double cropping systems in New York State. We have a short growing season in the Northeast, so establishing winter cereals early in the fall can be difficult. It's usually a very narrow window to establish those cover crops, and it's often quite late. This is going to depend on what crops are preceding it, and it can limit your species selection, and certainly the success of that system. Timing of harvest to optimize yield and quality can also be challenging. Around mid-May to June is a really busy time for New York dairy farmers. They're typically planting corn silage. They're maybe the first cut of alfalfa and alfalfa grass mixtures. So it's difficult sometimes to fit this extra harvest at that time of year. And certainly delaying main crop planting date is a major concern. With that short growing season, farmers need to get that main crop in as early as possible just to maximize the amount of time that that crop is in the ground. So to address these challenges, some of the farmers and extension educators that we collaborated with were interested in what forage quality and yield trade-offs were associated with cultivar selection, species selection, and harvest timing. So more specifically, are there significant differences between winter cereal cultivars in terms of yield and forage quality? Secondly, at the species level, how do yield and forage quality change over time? And how long are the ideal harvest windows to capture a high-quality forage for those different species? So in terms of methodology, we used a randomized complete block design. We had 5 sites in New York, 2 were at Cornell research stations, and 3 were on farm. At one of our research stations, we had cereal rye, barley, and triticale, and 4 cultivars of each of those species. And then for the remaining sites, there's a different number of species and cultivars, with about 18 cultivars across all sites. We targeted 5 growth stages, all of which were before anthesis. So with a double cropping system in the Northeast, farmers are not going to be interested in growth stages beyond around that Zadix 5960, because it's just going to be too short for that main crop planting season. And we clipped all of our biomass samples about 10 centimeters, 4 inches above the soil surface to mimic mechanized harvest. Also to address these challenges, or these management questions, I should say, we looked at a number of different parameters for soil quality and yield, forage quality and yield, excuse me. So we did look at yield, neutral detergent fiber to reflect that intake potential, acid detergent fiber as an intermediate for some of our summative parameters, NDFD, so 48-hour in vitro, and crude protein. And then for those summative or more integrated parameters, we looked at relative forage quality and milk per hectare, which are commonly used to rank or compare forages. For statistics, I use R for some nonlinear regression and JUMP for ANCOVA, Tukey's HSD, and a few other practices. So for our first question, do winter cereal cultivars differ in yield and forage quality? This is our Musgrave Research Station, so our Cornell Research Station. This is where we have those 12 cultivars across cereal rye, barley, and triticale. These were harvested at May 27th, so right at the end of that period when you would be typically harvesting these for in this double cropping system. And so, as you can see, no significant differences between the cereal rye and triticale cultivars, but both cereal rye and triticale produced significantly more biomass than those barley cultivars. Given how cold and hard that winter was in 2013, it's probably not surprising. Barley is less winter hardy, but we included it in this trial because we were interested in its potential for an earlier harvest and a higher forage quality. So here we're looking at two cultivars of cereal rye, Huron and VNS Lakeview, and two cultivars of triticale, the Tri-Cal 815 and Trimark. And so we have relative forage quality as a response, and the two main plots are going to be growth stage or Zadix and cultivar. So as you can see, there was a significant interaction between growth stage and cultivar. So that Trimark 99 is the relative forage quality is declining at a slower rate over those growth stages. So as we saw in that previous graph, all four of those cultivars produce the same amount of biomass, but yet we're seeing this different relationship to forage quality. And so this has important management implications, which I'll get to a little bit later. So for our second question, we're going to look at our on-farm data sets. So we have cereal rye, triticale, and wheat, and I just want to make it clear that I'm not trying to compare these different species because these were different sites, so there's going to be different manure histories, different soil type, climate. These are just kind of model data sets for us to kind of explore these relationships for the following few slides. So we fit an adjusted rise to maximum nonlinear model here, and the relationship was as expected. At those earlier growth stages, you have an exponential increase in yield, and it's going to level off as those plants mature. Had we collected samples beyond Zadix 60, we would have seen that plateau much more clearly. So here, on your left, we have relative forage quality on the y-axis. On your right, we have predicted milk yield in kilograms per hectare. And across the x-axis, we have those growth stages. So these are those same on-farm sites here. What you can see is relative forage quality. Of course, it's going to decline over these growth stages, whereas milk per hectare is going to increase. And I guess I should point out that for the milk per hectare, in order to actually get higher milk production at those later growth stages, certainly you'd be including a smaller proportion of that forage in the ration. This is a lower quality forage, so of course you can't feed your lactating cows just only this advanced, you know, cereal rye forage. So yield is a big part of that relationship that is driving that positive linear relationship. And for our final question, we're looking at those harvest windows. So we're interested in timing here. So at the top, cereal rye has a steeper slope, so indicating that relative forage quality declines at a faster rate across those growth stages compared to triticale and wheat. So this would suggest a narrower harvest window to capture that high-quality forage. So if you're interested in something to feed your lactating cows, that window is going to be very, very brief. In contrast, triticale has a shallow slope, and so this is going to give growers more flexibility. At a busy time of year, this is really important for them, and this is certainly driving adoption of triticale in New York. And we saw that before in that previous slide, that Trimark 99 had that shallow slope, and that's where this comes in here. And certainly this is an important concept for farmers. Wheat was kind of intermediate between those two species. So in summary, it's difficult to make broad recommendations or generalizations here. It's so farmer-specific. All these different New York dairy farmers have very individual needs. But there's a lot of important considerations here for working this into a double cropping system. So some of these questions would be, when will the winter cereal be planted in the fall? So this is going to depend on what crop is preceding it. What crop will be planted after harvesting the winter cereal? So is it going to be short season summer annual forage, sorghum Sudan grass, pearl millet, or are you going to go with something longer, corn, silage, soybean? And certainly synchronizing forage timing with the needs of your animals is going to be an important part of this equation. So lactating cows versus dry cows or heifers. And as I mentioned, how is this going to fit into harvest, into your other field work, mid-May and June? So how can you, do you have the time to scout these fields, looking at these growth stages of these small grains? Can you prioritize harvesting that winter cereal when you have all sorts of other work, that corn silage planting, alfalfa harvest, et cetera? So one of the ways that we discussed and thought about presenting this material for farmers would be a simple dichotomy is key, asking some basic questions here and maybe assist in decision-making for these basic agronomic questions. So if winter hardiness is which species would you want to plant? So we're looking at cereal rye or triticale, excluding barley and wheat for subpar performance here. So just rye and triticale. If winter hardiness is a primary concern, then certainly cereal rye is going to be your best choice. Last year, a lot of farmers had winter kill with triticale, despite its relative winter hardiness. If this is less of a concern, maybe they're a little bit further south, are they going to be planting late? If they are, then again, cereal rye is going to be your best choice if you're trying to hedge your bets and make sure you're going to get a harvestable yield. If not, triticale is going to work out well, and it gives you that extended flexibility. Another question might be, what animals do you want to feed with that forage? If you're looking to feed your lactating cows, we want to harvest by flag leaf for cereal rye or boot stage for triticale. This is what our data suggests. Definitely the timing between some of those growth stages can be maybe even 24 or 48 hours. So that's why I was talking about scouting and stuff like that. Fitting that into your schedule can be difficult, and farmers need to be aware about how brief those windows are. If you're going to feed dry cows or heifers, harvesting as late as possible before planting that double crop. Basically, you want to maximize that dry matter yield because these cows, dry cows and heifers, are going to require a lower quality forage. And so with that, I'd like to thank NESER for supporting this research, as well as all of our farmer collaborators and undergrads and everyone who helped make this possible, and ask if there's any questions. Thank you. Yeah, so the question was, in regards to that decision-making tree I had at the end, how am I going to share this with farmers? Is this going to be an extension article? Is this going to be on the web? This is something we'd like to definitely talk with those farmers and our extension educators. This is something I haven't had a chance to come back, bring everyone together, and really hash this out. So certainly Cornell has some extension documents that I think it'd be great to try to fit this in somehow. Certainly, an academic journal is not going to be the appropriate way to share this information. So that's something I'd like to have. It's a dialogue. I'd like to talk with the farmers and collaborators first, but I could see that as being some extension outreach document, definitely. A web base would be great. Yeah.
Trimark 099 had some interesting forage quality aspects. Can you comment on that? Any idea what was special about it compared to the others?
Yeah, so the question was for Trimark 99, why did it seem to have some higher forage quality compared to the other triticale cultivars? So I literally just got all this data about last week, and so I'm just working with it here. We've got a lot of different cultivars. So when I have a chance to look through all those, we're maybe going to be able to parse through that data and take a look at those different trends. And we certainly have lots of different parameters for forage quality, and maybe we can find out where that trimark's standing out. Right now, I haven't had the chance to certainly find out why that trimark stands out compared to those other triticale cultivars. Yeah, so the question was how I analyze forage quality. So that was mostly all through wet chemistry. Yeah, and for the crude protein also was an IR, NIR, that was LECO, that was all wet chem. Yep.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.